and I listened to Peter this week, so it's all working really well. Good morning. So good to see all of you lovely faces and all of you lovely candidates to help me with all the fun things we're going to do this next year. You'll notice here I've got a couple of t-shirts. We have actually a full set of t-shirts that we have used for special events to identify ourselves as volunteers in our community. And so a few things you've probably noticed is out in the parking lot, we actually have two bins. One of them is from the Value Village, but it's the Canadian Diabetes Association has a bin for drop-off of donated goods. And they've been there for a little while now, and they'll continue to be there. So if you have things you want to just get rid of and bless other people with, that's what that is there for. The other bigger bin is for our big event coming up on June the 4th, this Saturday. So we're starting to fill the bin up. If you have household goods and clothing and kids' stuff and kitchen stuff and even furniture and stuff like that that you're needing to purge. Now, spring's a little cool this year, so it might be good to work up a little bit of a warm spell and bring us some stuff, and we'll fill the bin. On Saturday morning, we'll start at 8 o'clock with some of our volunteers, and if you wish to volunteer us with us that day to help us, we're going to unload it all into the parking lot. We're setting up a free yard sale. The premise of the Big Give as a national event is that this day has been chosen, the first Saturday in June, to bless our community, to bless the address we live at. So signs are out, posters are out. If you want a poster for your condo or apartment building and people can connect with you to bring stuff, please, I'd be happy to have that happen. That would be great. And we just want to bless the community. We're giving this stuff away for free. There's some really nice stuff in there, folks. So let's do our very best. Some people always get a little uptight about, oh, I don't have really great stuff, and I'm not that great at teaching, and I'm not that great at. And God has never asked for great. Anywhere in Scripture do you see God wants us to be perfect before we try anything for him? I haven't yet. I've been looking at it for a few years, and I figure if he can use me, he can use anybody. So God asks for our best. Not great, our best. He asks for our wholeheartedness, and he has a reason for doing that, and I'm going to share that in a minute. So June the 4th is our big give. July 11th to the 15th, we're doing a VBS, and I will be looking for people to help me with that. I have my Bible teacher already secured. When we were at the Engage event Thursday evening, unbeknownst, or Chris and Hannah didn't know this, but I was scoping out junior helpers. So if there are junior helpers and people who want to help us with the VBS this summer, contact me. And I'm not sure parents can conscript you, but I'm happy to have a conversation. Anyway, so I'm happy to have help with that because we're hoping to bless a bunch of kids this summer with a day camp, teaching them God's word and being examples of believers of Jesus so that they will kind of go, I like it there. They've got some neat people that I can talk to. They answered my questions about Jesus, because that's what Chris and Hannah have been doing. And Thursday night, there were 20 young people. Some who I don't know, which is fine, because that's great. More people coming. I'm good with that. I have no problem meeting new people. But they were carrying their Bibles like it was the most precious thing in the world to them. So you know what? Faithfulness, best service that you can give, will produce fruit for God like nothing else. Doesn't need greatest, doesn't need fanciest, doesn't need most expensive. Needs a willing heart. I'm also going to be announcing, I guess I can share it today, I don't have promo material for it, with the approval and the graciousness of the board, we have applied for a seat on what is called the Capital Region Food Share Network. And there is an annual cost and fee to all that. But what it essentially does is we will be receiving hampers of produce and vegetables, and we'll also be receiving dry good groceries on a weekly basis to distribute to our community. Soon as I have the date of when that all starts, I will be looking for volunteers, whether you can drive and deliver to some folks, not the whole time, or like I'll take care of making so-and-so and this area gets done and that area, whatever. We're also going to use it as part of a way to bless families in North Saanich Middle School. I'm working on setting up an appointment with the principal, who is a believer, and that, honestly, the last time we got hampers from them, they were banana boxes full of produce. Now, I know unless you have a really big family, you don't go through a banana box full of produce in a week in most of our homes. So I have this idea that I'll connect with the school so that every other week, all of the boxes will be delivered to the school to go to First Nations families. So at least twice a month they get a blessing, and then twice a month we will serve in our community. We will serve those who have more month than money. We will serve those who don't have enough, and we will do our very best to bless our community. I have a heart cry in all of this, and I mentioned it a while ago. I firmly believe that when pastors and they come and go, if things that have been established during our time, during Chris and Hannah's time here, we pray for these things to become part of our church's DNA. Not my DNA. I do this stuff at every church I've ever been at. I carry it with me. So these things, like the Big Give, the food share, the VBS, reaching out to the kids in the community, reaching out to those who are hurting and need some support in their homes, it needs to be part of our DNA. And I firmly believe everyone here can be a part of that. It might be a small part. It might be a big part. It might be an upfront part. It might be behind the scenes part. But these past 6 years have shown me that if I were to sit here, and we are going to name all my volunteers, but if I were to give you, when you see the list of names of volunteers who have helped us over the years, you will realize there's a lot of folks here who help out in a lot of ways. And honestly, that's all part of what I'm going to be speaking on today. Recently, I've gotten this book. It's called Bless. Now, you can't see it from where you are, but it's B, period, L, period, E, period, S, period, S, period. So it's become an acronym. And it's written by two brothers who have been founders of some churches throughout the states. And it's a strategy that they have written about how to reach your community. In fact, the title on this, 5 Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World. Well, doesn't that just fit in my wheelhouse, right? I think it's an awesome thing. We're going to start in Genesis 12, and I'm going to be jumping through some scriptures. Our main text is going to be a little bit later. You'll highlight it. You'll see it when I understand, when you will understand it when you see it. But this is where God has called Abraham. In verse 1 of chapter 12, and he says, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, in all the churches we've been in and other places where we've chatted with people, I think there are some people who are convinced that this ended once Abraham settled somewhere and then just had his life and then died, that this blessing thing ended. I think there are, because maybe that's how we kind of function. Isn't it kind of easy just to sit and receive and not go anywhere with it? I've had some people tell me that, well, I serve Jesus, I love him, but I don't have to do anything, I just going to come in church. There are some people who make it look like, well, I'm going to be careful to make sure I bless people because I don't want them to curse me. Let me tell you, I think every ministry leader, everyone who is pressed in and knowing what the will of God is for their life and sought through it, has a scar of some sorts upon their being from someone who cursed them in spite of them wanting to be blessed by the ministry. Because that is part of the mission. It's part of what happens. Not everybody's going to love you. That was a big shock to me, though, but I'm okay with it. Not everybody's going to love all things we say. Not everybody's going to love all the songs we sing. Not everybody's going to love all the hairdos we have. Not everybody's going to love if we have pews or cushions or whatever. They're not all, there's going to be somebody who's going to have something to say. But a very wise small church leader, I think it was Carl Vaders at a conference we were at, made a statement just like, if we continually cater to the less than 10% of voices who may have comments or complaints or don't like this, we run the risk of losing the other 90%. I don't want to do that. I'll still go after the one or the two or the three or the seven, and I'll still try to be whatever God wants me to be there. But the balance is in the greater numbers. And it's not just numbers. These are people that we have been given to bless. So, confirmation of this blessing, this author makes an interesting statement in that Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Abraham's descendants were blessed to be blessings. Are we Abraham's descendants, folks? Technically? Biblically? Spiritually? You're blessed to be a blessing, people. Jesus was blessed to be a blessing. A notable character in this was with Zacchaeus. Luke 19:1-4. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming through that way. I don't think it was something Jesus fully planned entirely, like, you know, his disciples, well, our itinerary is a little tight, Jesus. We just got to keep moving. Got to get on to that next place because they're expecting us. But Jesus being Jesus, kind of that omniscient, he knows everything. That's one of the things that we talked about a while ago. He stops and he sees this wee little man sitting in a tree. And he said, you come see me. I want to go to your house for tea. Now remember the going to house for tea part. That's important when it comes to our acronym later. Jesus blessed Zacchaeus by going to his house. Galatians 3:7-9. Roland, I think your cell phone is contagious. Here we go. I'll find it. No worries. We're in Galatians 3. And we're going to read verse 7 through 9. Chapter 3. There we go. Understand then that those who have faith, that's us, right? Are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The blessing God gave to Abraham wasn't just that he became a phenomenal, well-known, big estate owner and lots of cattle and lots of sheep and lots of people working for him, and he traveled and he was well known for the quality of his herds and all that stuff. That was not the blessing God inferred or conferred onto Abraham. It was God's relationship with Abraham that was the blessing. It was that Abraham served God with his whole heart, mind, soul, body, strength, whatever ounce of fiber he had. Abraham walked with God. That's the blessing. So as Abraham is working with all the people he works with all of his family, with all of the communities he touched, he is conferring his blessing of his relationship with God to those around him. And that's ours. We are part of all the peoples of the earth. Our fifth Sunday approach has been that we feature and honor our missionaries in the various countries we have missionaries in. We feature and honor some of the parachurch organizations we work with because we want to be a part of how they are blessing, but we choose to bless them as we choose to bless our missionaries, as they bless others. So see how this goes? It's not just that it ends. It doesn't end things, it begins things. And it's a going thing, it's a missional thing. It is a, you can't sit in your home and say, I'm so blessed to God, I'm just gonna sit here and soak in it forever. That's not part of it. Now, each of us has different things we're called to. Some are prayer ministry, some are visit the sick, some are phoning, some are working with kids, some are talking about relationships, some are spending time with. All of these things are part of the blessing, because what we are doing is we are conferring the blessing that God has given us by our relationship with him. All that he gives us. If he gives you healing for your health, are you going to really keep it quiet? Not saying nothing to nobody. Not telling you. Let's do some jumping from the rooftops, people. If God's healing you, he's healing you. Thank him for it and let other people know that God did that for you. If God is restoring things in your life and he's making a work of it and you know it and you see a change in you and others see the change in you, give him the glory. Because his work in us is far greater than any talent or wit or genius any of us has. So now we're going to get to the acronym of how we can do this without it all, like, you know, I'm older, I'm too young, I know way too much about the Bible, I don't know enough about the Bible, I worship, I don't worship. Doesn't matter. This little acronym is kind of cool. I was actually chatting with Ralph the other day. I said, what was that book we used in Bible college with personal evangelism, right? And it had the, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps, and then you use this 1, 2, 3 steps of these scriptures. And when you did that to somebody, you went right up to them calling in, these are the steps, boom, boom, boom. You want Jesus right now, don't you? Because I was brilliant in reminding you of all the things I've learned. Doesn't always work that way. But when we walk, no matter what way we walk, we're walking in step with God. He is leading our steps to people. He is leading us to conversations. He's bringing things about in our life that he is doing, then any of those things will work. As long as we are following him and reading his word. So their premise in this book, Dave and John Ferguson, and I'm actually looking it through. I've been kind of hopping around back and forth in it just to get an outline. It might end up being a study that we can do for those who want to dig a little deeper into it. Then they make this wonderful statement. 9 times in the Bible, there is this commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. 8 times it's stated in the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. I'm just going to list them. Matthew 19:19, Matthew 22:39, Mark 12:30-31. And we're gonna camp into that one. But it's also noted again in Luke 10, Romans 13, Galatians 5, and James 2. Now, of these verses, some of them are a repeat. The first one is the 10 Commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a commandment. It's not a, well, if you feel like it. Well, if they do nice things for you. Well, if they buy you cool things. Ooh, that one cooks really good over there. You better love that neighbor. It's not that. It's a commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most of us with ourselves have a fairly good at it. We know how to take care of ourselves. We know how to get food to survive. We know how to get dressed. We know how to have a job or function in our world. So we take care of ourselves quite well, I would think. I mean, y'all look amazing. So, and we're going to have an amazing meal downstairs after, so you're all very well taken care of. I can't say I picked the menu, but boy, do I like the menu. Looks good. Then there are several other verses where, and these are in the Gospels, and it's repeated in a couple of Gospels, and it's a fancy phrase for it called the Synoptic Gospels, which is when a story that Jesus has told or a situation, and it's repeated by each of the writers of the Gospel. So it's, some of them have variations of what that looks like to that person, like Luke would have written about these things because he was a doctor, so he might have a medical insight in how he interprets and wrote what he wrote. But this particular one, they're all pretty much the same. Someone came to Jesus. Now, it's stated that the intent of this person was to try to trip Jesus up to see if he really knew what he was talking about. Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Tell me the right answer. And Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And the second of this is to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, my favorite line in those two verses are the last one. There is no greater command than these two. None of the other commands trump these two. None of the other commands supersede these two. They work along with, they are part of how we function as believers, definitely. But it is because of these first two commands that we do all the others. Because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's pretty much everything about any of us. If anybody else has a fifth dimension in their being, I'd like to know about it. We could make a movie maybe. But at this point, everything within us is to love the Lord our God. And when that relationship is in right placement, then he says, love your neighbor like yourself. This is where we trip up once in a while. Gotta love the neighbor with the yappy dog? What about the teenager that swears every time they go out walking? What about the one that just lets their cat do their business in my flower beds? What about my coworker who just tries to take credit for my work all the time? What about my friend in class who tries to copy my answers on a test? What about them? Well, there's actually one of these verses that says, love your neighbors and love your enemies. That was pretty cool. With this, Jesus proved again his mission. His mission was to seek and save the lost. Jesus' mission wasn't to sit in the church every Sunday with all the believers. He was there. He taught. He was 13 years old. He taught in the synagogues. But it wasn't his mission to sit in church only. It wasn't his mission only to be with an insular little world. It wasn't his mission to only listen to Christian radio or to only watch this or to only read this. Jesus purposefully chose by method to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world. Jesus met people. What did he do with Zacchaeus? He invited him for tea. That's right. Jesus invited Zacchaeus for tea. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he did this by becoming a friend and by blessing people. The Beatitudes gives us 9 ways to how to live a blessed life. Now, that's kind of for us, right? You're blessed if. I got to find it. My Bible verse. Matthew 5, I think, isn't it? I was reading my notes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who persecute because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult, persecute, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That's Jesus, not me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is kind of a map of our personal conduct of how to live in blessings. We don't all have all of these things. Like, not all of us are persecuted. Not all of us have to face being alone. Not all of us are any of these things altogether. But God says we can be blessed in spite of our circumstances. And what is that blessing? Our relationship with him. It's the salvation he gave us, the grace and the mercy he showed us. We can be blessed in all of these situations. So, this lovely acronym, we're going to get into this. Capital B, if you want five ways how to be a blessing in your community and impact your neighbors in your world, capital B, begin with prayer. It's a tricky one, sorry. It didn't start with a P, it starts with a B. Begin with prayer. Because you know what? Unless you pray about who God wants in your life, we could be working in vain. We could be working on our own talent, and then suddenly something fizzes and it just doesn't work anymore, and then people, you're all upset at each other. Begin with prayer. Ask God to bring people to you that are part of your neighborhood. Ask him to give you a name. It might be the crankiest neighbor on the block, but if God gives you that name, you begin with that name with prayer. The L, listen. Us evangelicals and Pentecostals aren't good at listening for long. We don't like quiet spots. We don't like when there's space in the service that goes, ooh, let's just wait on God. And we're just like, some of us are like, okay, God, anytime. Silence makes us bananas sometimes, right? But it's essential. Because we're not just listening for God, which we are when we're praying. We want to listen to the neighbor. Yes, the cranky neighbor down the road might not like your color of flower pots. Guess what? It's not hard to change a color of a flower pot. Really, it isn't. I wouldn't suggest giving them that flower pot, but I would suggest the option of moving it around a bit, if that's the issue. Interesting study. This book was written in 2021, so it was written as accumulation of things they've done in their ministry, but they also did a couple of surveys, research polls. So they went to the Gallup company, the polls, and they did a survey of so many people. And the question was, do you feel comfortable? Now, these were non-Christians they went to. Do you feel comfortable talking about matters of faith with your friends? 79% of the people responded, yes, I feel comfortable talking about matters of faith with my friends. Now, it doesn't. This survey doesn't talk about which faith or which God or whatever. They were just comfortable talking about matters of faith. So Barna, the Christian Survey Association, did a similar study. And they talked to non-Christians, and they said, would you feel comfortable talking about matters of faith with your Christian friends? 79% of them said no. Want to know why? Judgment. We don't really listen to hear. We just listen to talk sometimes. Oh, well, I can fix that problem real quick. You just need to serve Jesus. Now, that's right. It's a right statement. But it's not hearing them talk about what their heart is at, so that you can bring Jesus to their heart. Jesus is the one who can fix anything and everything in anybody's life. The minute and the second that he's to do that, that's not my job to fix everything in everybody's life right away. But together we go to Jesus and we sort out what is needed and we let Jesus do the work. And I think that's what this was referring to. So that's kind of I kind of made my heart sink. When 79% of non-believers around me wouldn't want to talk to me about matters of faith because they think I might judge them. I'm like, oh boy, I got some work to do on me. I got some work to do on letting God lead me by beginning with prayer and helping me to listen to them. Because honestly, the minute they say, well, I've got this and I have that problem and this problem, do you know what? I would say 99.9% of us would have a solution or know somebody who would help with something that they have a concern with. And there's your listening. Hearing what their problem is, but then asking God to use you to help address bring a solution. So the next one is fun. Zacchaeus got to join in on this one. It's called eating. How fortuitous, how blessed, how timely we are eating today. Later, I will try to be quicker than this. And people, especially since pandemic, are craving companionship. Now, it might be limited. They might have their guidelines. They might have their, you know, whatever. But there's still opportunity to share fellowship and food with somebody. So if you've prayed for this person and they've come into your life and you're listening, sometimes it's easier to listen over a cup of tea or coffee or over dinner or I would say McDonald's, but that's not my favorite anymore. I'm not vouching for them, just so you know. but that's okay. To each their own. But even a cup of tea in the park, a couple of cookies, it doesn't have to be fancy. Fancy china doesn't win souls. They look great, and I have some, and I use it, and that's fine. I love it. And I love it when people pour out their love by blessing and making an environment beautiful for us. That is part of a blessing of what all of us can do, however we do. But when God says, maybe bless this person by eating with them, having them eat with you something. And honestly, people do relax when there's food in play. They get involved. They get engaged. They really think you're listening and hearing them, and they can share with you. But you're not just doing a strategy and a scheme here. You're inviting them into your life, into your place, into your world, and they will invite you into theirs as we pray and listen. While we're listening and eating, and I just hinted to it, the first S is for the word serve. So if you've prayed for someone and you've listened to what their needs are and then you ask God to show you, maybe there's a bit more to this than I can help with, whatever, then you serve them. And if it means you've got an extra bag of groceries or someone gave me the idea and I'm pretty sure the person is here, you know when there's buy one, get one at the grocery store? But you know you're only going to use the 5 pounds of potatoes in a week? Do you know somebody who could use the other 5 pounds you got for free? Wouldn't that be cool? I love potato soup, so I'll give away potatoes and a recipe for my favorite potato soup, and let's eat together later. Very straightforward, very easy type of approach. Again, though, you're part of relationship building. Then the last S is always look for the moment to tell your Jesus story. Always look for the moment to tell your Jesus story. Your stories. They'll have stories. Well, you know, my life is like this, and I think it's because of that and whatever. And then over time, as you've developed relationship, you can say, you know, back when I was that age or when I was in that situation, I really learned what it meant for Jesus to hang on to me. And for me to hang on to Jesus. And you can bring Jesus' story to their life. So they did another survey, these pastors, and they worked with several churches on this, and two missions teams went to Thailand, and so they followed them for 2 years. And they did this on purpose. It's not like one team was better than the other or more equipped than the other. This was what had been done to see how this would work, to see if this blessed strategy had some impact. So they followed these two missions teams in Thailand for 2 years. That's a long time to do a survey. Some of us don't have patience to wait 2 minutes to talk about Jesus, let alone 2 years. The one team was equipped with, we're going to be on the street corners, we're going to do concerts, we're going to, in the name of Jesus, you need to be saved, come and talk to me right after, and whatever. These were all good things. People were engaged. People loved the music. People loved the events and all that. The other team purposefully made the effort to get their way into the community. Let's go to the local coffee shops. Let's check out the restaurant. Let's see if we can help at a shelter. Let's see if we can do little things like this, right? And at the end of the 2 years, because they asked both teams to keep records of contacts and conversations people had with Jesus and what that all looked like. And at the end of the 2 years, the events and concerts, they called them the converters group. I think it was just how to, you know, standing on the gospel, street preacher, blah, 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 how to use that word. So the converters group, get converted and saved to Jesus right now. And then the other group was called the blessers, based on this acronym. And at the end of 2 years, the converters had one recorded salvation from standing on street corners. Thank you, Jesus. We have one more in heaven. I'm good with that too, right? Then they talked to the blessers and they said, well, just a minute. 48 conversions for Jesus. And of the 48 conversions for Jesus, several of them were wanting to be in leadership and had developed into leadership with the ministry team that they were with. And they were going to their people to find prayer people. They were repeating what they had been grown into. They were producing more fruit that way. I'm not saying one way or the other is better, but I know for me in my heart, anytime we can speak Jesus relationally to anybody is far better than me standing here and saying, thou must be saved. And I'm not mocking gospel by any means. We have to share the gospel. We have amazing, wonderful scriptures. We have people who pray into this. The precept here is, a concept I should say here is, begin with prayer. Ask God to bring people to you, or to bring you to people. Ask him to give you names. Then listen to them. And if they're ready to hear the gospel message right away, then yes. Because we have to line up with the word. All of our actions and our choices and our words and everything, we need to line up with God's word on that. We can't just say, well, I firmly believe that this really interesting thought from this other thing is relevant here. If you don't, if it doesn't line up with God's word, then that's not what we say. We use God's word in his time, and we pour into people's lives. And that's why earlier I was saying I'm convinced that our DNA needs to be that, of reaching people in tangible ways. Because honestly, while the world is hungry, while 79% of unbelievers are comfortable talking with their friends about faith matters, we have to be in that place where they want to talk to us. And that means we may need to go to them. So truthfully, guess what the big give is? It's a great big conversation time sometimes. Chat with people as they're walking through and, I can't believe you're giving away stuff for free. It's here to bless you. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are not blessed to sit in the salt shaker and stay in the salt shaker only and never do anything with it. We are blessed to be a blessing. So they have a challenge at the very end of the book, and there's some tools and things like that that they talk about to make some of this easier, because honestly, when I went to Bible college and they said, you have to take a personal evangelism course because you have to learn to read the scriptures and you have to learn to say the right scriptures at the right time about the right things. And I'm like, yipes. You know, and I grew up watching Billy Graham, so I mean, I thought, just sing just as I am, you've got me. Me and Jesus, our hearts are together on this one. They make this suggestion. Since there is eight times that we are given the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, ask God to give you eight neighbors. You can make yourself a little card. They did a little, like a tic-tac-toe square board, and their name was in the middle. And you, when you get all the neighbors on there, that you're praying for them, that you're listening to them, that you're eating with them, you're serving them, you're sharing Jesus' stories, when your little card is full and these people come to know Jesus, show them this is how this happened. God did this. Why don't you try? And I'll be here to help. Pretty cool idea. Technically, it doesn't have all when I was in Bible college, the scary trappings of wear the best suit and stand in the posture and stand in the box and then yell at the people at the shopping mall as they, it was an interesting time, let me tell you. Not my gifting, but that's okay. That's okay. That's where my heart is for this. That's why I've always had a heart to get into the community. I know these are our times where we receive from Jesus in worship. We receive during prayer times. We receive when we connect with each other. Maybe even today at lunch, because you are all invited, and I'm seeing faces who are here for the first or second time. Yes, you're all invited. I'd love to chat with you at lunch. Please join me. I would be thrilled. Find someone you haven't chatted with before for a while and try a connect. Try a connect. If you're joining us for lunch, we would be happy to have you. I want to say thank you for hearing me out on this. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed because of who God is in us, our relationship with him. We have salvation. We have the hope of heaven. These are the blessings we bring to others as we share in their lives, as they allow us to. And I'm pretty sure, I would love to see a year from now how many of us have names that you've, out of the blue, my neighbor down the road, we got talking and on and on. Pray about it, listen, eat with someone, serve them, and tell your stories. I thought that was pretty straightforward for me anyway. Thank you. And we now have a video because I want to say thank you to all of those who have helped us serve these past couple of years.